God is a faithful God. God keeps covenant. God keeps promises. And we know that God answers prayers. Answers prayers. And he likes to answer prayer. He enjoys answering our prayers. And he wants us to pray because he wants to bless us. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to change our circumstance. So God wants us to pray because he wants to bless us. Prayer is the way that we permit God to release his blessing in our lives, or we invite God to be involved in our own affairs. We are created, you know, as gods, having given the power of choice, the power of will. We decide what happens to us in here on earth, and God will not violate those rights. So our prayer gives God the permission to bless us, to reach out and touch us. And prayer also gives us an opportunity to fellowship with God, to have interaction with God, to commune with God, to bond with God. Hallelujah. And in prayer, he shows us of himself. He reveals to us things about him in the place of prayer. And there is absolutely nothing that we can ask for that God does not have the capacity to do them. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above, exceeding abundantly, far above what you can imagine or ask for. Whatever you can conceive in your mind is nothing before God. God is bigger than your imagination. He's bigger than your thinking. The Bible says, as the heavens are far from the earth, so are our thoughts far from God's own thoughts. God has a bigger mind. Whatever can rise in your thinking is small in the eyes of God. And there's nothing that you can put into words that God cannot make good. God is all powerful. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. So prayers will not fail because God lacks the capacity to make those prayers good. He is the Almighty God. The creator himself, he can create absolutely anything. If it does not exist, he can create it. For he calleth those things that be not, and they appear as though they were. He formed the earth and the fullness thereof with the spoken word. He said, let there be, and they appear. He's Almighty God. He does not struggle to make something happen. He does not need to work hard to bring about something. He just calls it into being. So God is faithful. God is powerful. God can do all things. Prayers can only fail, according to James chapter 4, when they are prayed amiss, when they are prayed wrongly. And for the purpose of this study tonight, I want to discuss two ways that believers pray amiss. Two ways that believers pray wrongly. So I'm going to be using interchangeably the word wrongly and amiss because they mean the same thing. We pray wrongly. Not appropriately, not properly, not right, when we pray in a certain way. And there are just only two ways that I want to discuss with you in this study this evening. Hallelujah. So the first one is praying faithless prayer. We pray wrongly when we pray faithless prayer. We pray wrongly when we pray faithless prayer. When our prayer is not, prayed in faith. When it's not prayed in faith in God, that prayer is a wrong prayer. Hallelujah. For prayer to yield results, we have to pray in faith and not faithlessly. Mark 11, verse 24. Mark 11, 24. It says from the New King James Version, "Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So for you to pray and see results, you have to believe that you have received them. When you don't believe that you have received them, you don't have them. When you believe, then it's only a matter of time you're going to see the physical manifestation of your prayer. I want to read that scripture again. It's a Bible study, and I want it to sink deep down into your spirit. You need to receive it. And I'd like you to meditate on this scripture constantly. It's very crucial when it comes to prayer. And this is Jesus himself speaking. Hallelujah. This is the words of Jesus. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them and you will have them." Before you have them, when you pray, you've got to first believe that you have received them. Hallelujah. My daughter called me some time ago. She got in touch, Melissa. And she said, "Dad, is it praying, does that mean you don't have faith when you keep asking God for the same thing? When you keep repeating before God something that you've asked before?" I said, "You're correct. It depends on how you are praying on the same thing." And I said, "If you ask God for, let's say you asked God for £100 yesterday morning. You went on your knees and you prayed a prayer of petition. The prayer of petition is praying to ask God for something. You are petitioning God to do something for you. You are seeking the help of God about something. That's the prayer of petition. There are different kinds of prayer. So when you go on your knees and you ask God for £100, you say, God, in the name of Jesus, please give me £100. I really need £100, oh God, so I can use it to to buy, I want to spend £10 on McDonald's and £20, I want to use it, oh God, to just buy me that cake that I saw in that shop, and the rest of the £70, I just want to, you know, to do this and that with. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I need this £100. Please give me, oh God. And you said, amen. The Bible says you should believe that you have received it, and then you will have it. So if you got up from your knees, you are to go about believing that you have received. You have received that prayer. You have received answer to that prayer because you have prayed to God, your Father, who cares about your needs. He says, if you men know how to give good gifts to your children, what about God? Will he not give good things to them that ask him? He said, if he could not spare Jesus, but delivered Jesus to us, will he not with him freely give us all things? When you get up from your knees and you said, amen, you are to go about your life knowing that it's done, declaring that it's done, confessing that it is done, and waiting for the physical manifestation. So when you come back in the night and you pray the same prayer that you prayed in the morning, and you said, God, in the name of Jesus, please give me £100. Oh, I need £100 so I can use £10, oh God, to buy McDonald's. I want to use that £20 out of it to buy cake and blah, blah, blah. You're repeating the same petition of prayer. Now, what you were saying is that the prayer that you prayed in the morning was not answered. God didn't really hear you. God didn't really hear you. And the following morning, you pray the same kind of prayer. And in the evening, you pray the same kind of prayer. You are constantly asking, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, Lord. It means that you don't believe that it's done. If it's done, then you will not ask for it anymore. You can pray the same kind of prayer. You can pray on the same thing, but you pray all kinds of prayer. Not petition a prayer because I've asked him once and he heard me. This is the confidence that we have in him. The Bible says that whatever we ask for, that is according to his will, he hears. And if he hears, then he answers. And if I have believed that he has answered, then I won't come to God and say, God, in the name of Jesus, give me £100. Give me £100. Give me £100. Lord, give me £100. It's a prayer of unbelief. It's a faithless prayer. If I've received it, then I will go about thanking God. I thank you, God, for £100 that I've talked to you about because I know you've answered me. I believe that it's done. Glory be to God, it's done. And I know that I've received it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It shall be manifested. I declare that it shall be manifested because you have done it. I've prayed and you have done it. So I return to you glory. Glory. Hallelujah. To pray the prayer of faith means that you're not double-minded about it. You are not double-minded. You are not doubting the efficacy, the power of the prayer that you've prayed. You are fully persuaded that it's settled. Because I've talked to my God, my Father, about this issue, it's settled. It's a done deal. Not being double-minded, you cannot be double-minded. Did God answer? Did he really answer? Would there be a manifestation of what I've talked to God about? Or is there anything that God has against me? And maybe that's why it has not happened. Oh, you know, double mind. Doubt. Unbelief. Worry, fear. They're all indications of faithless prayer. And they make your prayer powerless. Ineffective. James chapter 1, he says in verse 5, if you read from verse 5 through 7, James chapter 1, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give to all men liberally and unbraided not, and it shall be given to him. When we ask God something, he will give it to us. That is an assurance that we have of God. But James says in verse number 6, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, not doubting, not being double-minded about this, but being fully persuaded, assured of answer to his prayer. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And he says concerning this type of prayer, verse number 7, for let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let that man not think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Praying with doubts, wavering, not persuaded, convinced, assured. But it's a done deal. It do not come to pass. And after you've prayed, the devil will stir up all kinds of storms, trying to plant doubts in your heart and anxiety and all kinds of fear. He will show you all kinds of situation because he wants to sow in your heart doubt. And the moment you begin to doubt the faithfulness of God or the efficacy of your prayer, then you put a stumbling block on the way of its manifestation. Because there is a condition to prayer. Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, you've got to believe that you've received it, and then you shall have it. You've got to first believe that you've received it. If you believe that you've received it, then you've got to start giving thanks about it, praising God for it. Hallelujah. Prayer is very powerful. But doubt and worry and unbelief makes prayer powerless. And it stands on the way of the results coming true. Mark 11:24. For verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus says, that whosoever, verily, verily, I say unto you, King James Version, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, even when you're talking about decrees and declarations, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. There are conditions to prayer. If you want to see your prayer being result-oriented, powerful, yielding results, then you've got to deal with the issue of unbelief. You've got to deal with the issue of of being double-minded. You've got to deal with the issue of doubt and worry. Hallelujah. When we come to that place of prayer, we must come fully assured and fully persuaded, because we know that there's power in prayer. Hallelujah. When we pray, we release power. When we pray, we connect with God of miracles. When we pray, things happen. When we speak to situations, they turn around in our favor. But for that to yield the result that we desire, we've got to deal with doubt. Doubt makes prayer a powerless prayer. Anyone that prays in doubt is praying wrongly. He's praying amiss. He cannot receive anything from God. Paul admonished Timothy, speaking in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Without wrath or doubting. I just wanted to go to take that word doubting, without doubting. The place of prayer must be free of doubting. It must be free of doubting. It is important to come to God fully persuaded. Make declarations fully persuaded. Speak the word of God to circumstances and situations fully persuaded. When you speak, you've got to know that it's done and it's a done deal. It says concerning Abraham. How Abraham functioned, how he operated with God, such that God blessed him. God accomplished the promises that God made to him and carried it through to his generations after him, because he operated with God in a particular way. And Romans chapter 4 shows us how Abraham operated. It says he staggered not. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not. He does not waver. He's not here and there doubting, being double-minded through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Even when it seemed like it was not going to happen, he was fully persuaded because God said it must be. Even when he advanced in years and his wife, Sarah, had reached menopause and her womb was dead, such that she cannot naturally conceive and be with a child, he was fully persuaded. Because God said it. It has to come to pass. It's a done deal. Verse 21 says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." How persuaded are you concerning the promises of God? How persuaded are you concerning that word of God that you are holding on to? That word of prophecy spoken into your life. How persuaded are you? Maybe it's gone past the time that you thought it to happen. You've been bombarded here and there. How persuaded are you that it's a done deal? Hallelujah. You know, we have to come to that place where we know what the Word of God says. And anytime we present the Word of God to God, then we're presenting to Him like we know that what He has said is a done deal. That's God's position. And that's what He has said, and it's final. You know, I've been to many believers' prayer meetings. And when you hear people raise prayer points and you hear people pray, and sometimes you're wondering, does this person understand the scriptures? I've been at a prayer meeting where someone raised a prayer point and he says, I'd like us to pray. I wanted to pray. And I wanted to pray that and say, Father. And everybody say, Father, please don't forget me. Father, please don't forget me. Pray. And people began to pray, Father, please don't forget me. Father, please don't forget me. Father, please don't forget me. And I said, that's a faithless prayer. That's a prayer of unbelief. You're praying because you are ignorant of what the Word of God says. This is what God says concerning you in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which ye have shown towards His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God can never forget you. The Bible says He cannot forget you. So when you go to God and you're saying, please don't forget me, you're saying, God, I do not believe in the strength of that word. I'm not sure you meant what you said about not forgetting me. He said, with a sucking murder, with the sucking mother forget to give the baby suck, God said, even if she would, I will never forget you. I will never forget you. You've got to hold on to that word. So, and anytime you go to God, say, God, I stand on the strength of your word. I believe that you can never forget me. I know you can never forget me. I believe in your word, you never forget me. You have not forgotten your promises concerning me. You've not forgotten what is said concerning me. You will not forget me. So when you pray, God, please don't forget me. God, please, please, in the name of Jesus, don't forget me. It's a prayer of unbelief. You know, when a believer prays the prayer, oh God, in the name of Jesus, heal me. Please, Lord, heal me. Oh Lord, heal me. It's a prayer of unbelief. It's a faithless prayer. Because the Bible says that you have been healed. You've got to believe what God said. He said, you have been healed. And you are saying, God, heal me. He's saying, I've healed you. Please, God, heal me. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. He's saying, I've healed you. You are healed. You just got to receive it. Colossians chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It's a scripture that you should be familiar with. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Not you will be healed, you were healed. You were healed. God said you were healed. It's past tense. He healed you. Hallelujah. Receive your healing. Say, Lord, I know in Christ Jesus I'm healed. I receive my healing. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this sickness. I rebuke this ache. In the name of Jesus, I command it to vanish now. In the name of Jesus, all spirits that are manipulating this, trying to plant it in my body, I rebuke you. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Because you were healed. God said you were healed. So you don't go to God and say, oh God, please heal me. Oh God, please heal me. God does not want you healed. You don't have to beg God to heal you. Jesus said healing is the children's bread, is the children's food. And in Christ Jesus, you were healed, past tense. Hallelujah. All kinds of wrong prayers, faithless prayer. Anytime that you're praying and your prayer does not agree with the word, it's a faithless prayer. You have to pray in the strength of the word of God. I believe that it's faithless prayer for someone to be praying, oh God, please, don't allow me miss heaven. Oh God, please, don't allow me miss heaven. And I hear a lot of believers pray that kind of prayer. You've already missed hell. You're already in heaven. You're already a candidate of heaven. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And you have been translated from the kingdom of the devil. You are now in the kingdom of Jesus. You are in heaven. Heaven begins here. Eternal life begins now. You're only waiting for your time to exit this world and be together with Jesus. You are praying for what has already taken place concerning you. Colossians 1:13 says, he had delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son of his love. New King James Version. You are already a candidate of heaven. You are already in heaven. Hallelujah. Faithless prayer. Praying like you don't believe what Jesus said. You don't believe what the Word of God said. Another faithless prayer is praying in what Jesus called in vain repetition. Making vain repetition in prayer is faithless prayer. You know, I mean, prayer is conversing with God, having a conversation with God, making a supplication of petitioning God. Prayer is not chanting. Chanting is born out of paganism. It's a culture of, it's a pagan culture. We don't chant. And Jesus says it's vain. So sometimes people think that it's by their continuous babbling that God will answer them. Father, 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 save me, save me, save me, save me, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, power, power, power. It's vain repetition. Jesus says it's vain repetition. Jesus, 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 help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. It's Jesus called it vain. It's vain prayer. It's chanting. It's actually born out of the pagan culture, pagan practice. Praying wrongly. If you pray that way, you pray wrongly. You're praying contrary to the word of God. That's what the priest of Baal did when they were in a contest with Elijah. Believers in Christ, pray of faith. Pray of faith with understanding. With knowledge of what the word of God says. They line their prayers with the word of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, he says, but when ye pray, and this is Jesus speaking, this is the words of Jesus himself, not Paul, not Peter, not James. Jesus, the master himself speaking. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, as the pagan do. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen, pagan do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. He knows. Even before you open your mouth to speak, he knows. You don't have to go, save me, save me, save me, save me, save me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Hey, hey, hey. It's good to pray with passion, with zeal. But sometimes we think that God will hear us because of our gymnastics, because of how we pray. You know, so when you go to Pentecostal circles and you hear them pray, and you sometimes you think these guys are crazy, man. You know, you find people shaking their head, and and doing all kinds of maneuverings, and you wonder, is maybe he's anointed. I must tell you that those things don't count in the place of prayer. They don't make God hear you one bit, whether you shake, whether you roll on the floor, whether you do gymnastics, you put your head on the floor and you're walking upside down, you jump, you shout. It doesn't make God hear you. Even before you ask, he knows what your need is. You just talk to God. Hallelujah. Don't think that it's by much speaking, much action, that will make God hear. You've got to have faith in God, faith in the fact that he's constant, he's truthful, he's powerful, he's able to do, and will never fail you. Amen. Okay, let's go on a minute break. Then I'll pick the second way we can pray amiss and just try to run this truth in the next maybe 10 minutes and draw this to a close. Just a minute break, please. Don't go away. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You're welcome back. Welcome back. I'm taking you on a study about praying amiss. And praying amiss means praying wrongly. And when we pray wrongly, according to the word of God, we don't get results. And a lot of times, the reason why we don't see results in prayer is because we're praying wrongly. We're praying contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. And so a lot of prayers that we do is faithless prayer, not in line with the Word of God. And this brings us to point number two, actually. We pray amiss when we are praying in ignorance, when what we are praying is contrary to what God says. what the Word of God says. If your prayer will not be answered, if you're praying, you know, without faith, if it's a faithless prayer, if it's in the midst of doubt and fear and anxiety, you've been double-minded about that, you know, you cannot receive it. But also, your prayer will not be answered if what you are asking for is contrary to what the Word of God says. It must agree with what the Word of God says. If what you're asking for is outside the will of God, it cannot be answered. It's praying wrongly. 1 John chapter 5, and you have to be familiar with this verse of the scripture. You have to be familiar with that as a praying person. If you're an intercessor, you have to know this scripture. If you are a praying man, a praying woman, you have to know this scripture. If you want to shape your destiny, shape the world around you through prayer, you have to know this scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, whatsoever that thing is, that is according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We know it because it agrees with his will. It lines up with his word. It is promised us in the covenant. He hears and we know that he will do it. So when we pray, then we've got to go about our lives believing that it's a done deal. It's only a matter of time and manifestation shall come. Hallelujah. Anything that contradicts the word, it's against the will of God, God does not answer. You've got to understand that. You cannot pray for something to be done, for something to happen, that is against what God said. And I'm going to give you a few examples and wrap it up with this. For instance, is praying wrongly against the will of God to pray for someone to die. It doesn't matter who that person is. It doesn't matter what he did to you, how he offended you. Praying for God to kill someone is contrary to the word of God. God will not answer that prayer. Only the devil will. It's witchcraft. God does not kill people. It's only the devil that kills. You can't pray God to kill someone. God will never answer that prayer. Jesus didn't come to kill. He didn't come to kill. He's not seeking to kill anyone, but to save. You cannot ask him to kill anyone. It does not matter what offense was committed against you. It does not matter how evil that person is. It can never be an answer prayer from God. That you pray that someone died, it cannot be by the hand of God. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse number 10 and 11, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So who is the killer? Who is the thief? Who is the destroyer? The devil. He's the devil. It's not God. But Jesus said, I am come that ye may have life and that ye may have it more abundantly. And he added, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. A lot of the people that pray for God to kill their enemies will quote from the Old Testament. They will quote from all the prayers of David and all of that. But what they fail to understand is that believers are in the New Testament. They are not Old Testament believers. There are things that happen in the Old Testament that is not applicable today. The church of Jesus does not practice them. So if you do not know how to navigate from the Old Testament scriptures to the New Testament scriptures, then you're going to be functioning in the Old Testament. It's not covered in the blood of Jesus. It's not applicable to the church of Jesus. The dealings of God with the Jews is completely different from the dealings of God with the church. Whatever Jesus spoke about in the New Testament ratified what was said concerning it in the Old. Whatever Jesus addressed in the New Testament took care of how it functioned in the Old Testament. What Jesus introduced replaced how it functioned or was operated in the Old Testament. He is the Lord of the church. And this is what Jesus said. This is how to deal with your enemies. This is how to deal with people that hate you. People that will kill you if they get a chance. You don't pray them dead. It's praying contrary to the word of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You need to understand the scriptures. This is from Jesus himself. Ye have heard that it had been said. And Jesus is trying to quote from the Old Testament practices. What the prophets told them. What the kings like David had declared. You have heard that it had been said. You've heard it in the old time. It's been practiced. That thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But now Jesus says to the church, but now I say unto you. Now I say unto you. Though you've heard it, it's been said that way, but now I say this to you. Love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's the instruction of Jesus. Anything contrary to this, Jesus will never answer you. I can promise you that. Because it contradicts his instruction here. He says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the unjust and on the just and on the unjust. Let me tell you something. From the strength of this scripture, you will see that actually, God loves human beings of all types, all culture, all. It doesn't matter their behavior. God still loves them. And God does not wish them evil, harm. God will not kill them. You cannot pray God to kill them. As a matter of fact, God blesses unbelievers. He sends the rain upon the unbelievers, the sun to shine upon them, and they prosper too. It's not every unbeliever that is a billionaire that got his money from witchcraft practice. God makes unbelievers too to prosper because he's the God of all flesh. Hallelujah. So that ye may be like your Father who is in heaven. He tells you who God is. For if ye love, verse 46 says, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? You've just been like a publican, like an unbeliever. There's no difference between you and that person who is not born again, who has no relation with Jesus. They hate, you hate. They curse, you curse. They wish people dead, you wish people dead. They seek the downfall of people, you seek the downfall of people. That's not the behavior of God. That's not the character of God. For God is love, the Bible says. So it's praying contrary to God's will. I tell you that, to pray for the downfall of someone, to pray for someone to die, for God, destroy him. That's satanic. That cannot be of God. And because of time, let me just mention one more, and then I try to close now. And I've heard believers pray this prayer, and it does not line up with the word of God. You hear believers pray, and they're killing demons. You know you cannot pray to kill demons. It's praying contrary to the word of God. You hear, every demon, all these principalities, I destroy you. You cannot destroy demons. You cannot kill demons. You cannot pray to kill demons. You cannot rebuke. You cannot decree to kill demons. Because demons are spirits. They are eternal beings. They can never die. They can never be destroyed. Because God made them eternal beings. That's why he created hellfire for them, a place of eternal torment and punishment. Originally, not for human beings, but for demons. You can pray to kill demons. You can pray to destroy demons and Satan. I've watched a clip at the prayer meeting, ignorance, that people were caning the devil. They came to church with canes, and they were caning the devil. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. Some people came to church with spray, that they are spraying, they are spraying demons. Spraying demons. Ignorance. They're spirits, being. And you hear people to pray, to say, Satan, I send you back to hell. Back to hell. All these demons, back to hell. You cannot send demons to hell. Because there is a time appointed for them. They have a time and a season to roam the earth. They roam freely. You cannot send them to hell. You cannot kill them. As a matter of fact, you cannot even chain the devil. You hear people say, Satan, I chained you. I chained you. You cannot chain the devil. Because you can never see that in the scripture. The church never prayed that prayer. The apostles never prayed that prayer. In the New Testament, that prayer was never prayed. Because they understood that they were dealing with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. What power we have, the power we have, is the ability to resist the devil and he will flee. He flees. The ability to cast out devils. You can cast out devil from the life of someone. Cast him out. You can cast out devil from your family, from your home. You can cast out the devil from your fears. You can rebuke the devil. By rebuking the devil is to say to the devil, stay away from this. It belongs to me. I rebuke you. You cannot ask, chain the devil such that, or demons such that they can no longer function. They are chained. They are bound. When you say, I bind you, I don't know what you mean by I bind you. As in chaining. Or imprisoning the devil such that demons so that they can never move and operate again. It's never done. It's praying in ignorance. Not understanding the scripture. There's no time for me to begin to explain to you what it means that whatever you bound here on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose here on earth will be loose in heaven. It's not talking about, chaining the devil and all of that. But you can rebuke the devil from touching your fears. You can cast him out from a place or from someone. Matthew chapter Okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Let this be, because of time, the last scripture. Matthew 16, 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Jesus went about casting the devil, not sending them demons, not sending them to hell or chaining them, because it wasn't time for that. He couldn't have done that. He cast out spirits. He rebuked spirits. Hallelujah. I pray that as you study the word of God, he will give you clarity in the areas that I've spoken of tonight and even deeper things. A lot of the prayers that we pray, they are just praying wrongly, praying amiss. They don't line up with the scriptures. There are no results. You know, I heard somebody said, Satan, I'm using this hammer to break your head. I break your head with this hammer. They are all spiritual. They are all jargons, useless words. They don't count. They don't count. You need to understand in the place of warfare. In the place of warfare, you need to give the devil clear instructions. Clear words, clear instructions. You need to understand the authority you carry and how you can enforce this authority that you carry. A lot of times Satan looks at you, or demons, they look at you and they're smiling. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Because it does not line up with the word. May God give you deeper understanding. Hallelujah. More than what I've spoken of tonight. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you safe. May the Lord shield you from all harm. May the Lord open your eyes to see the things that he's doing. May the Lord open your ears to hear what he's saying. May your words be loaded with power. When you speak, may it go forth with authority. With authority. May your words not fall to the ground. May they not be words of mere men. When you decree a thing, may it be established. When you declare something, may it come to pass. May it come to pass. I reach out and I bless you. God said you are blessed. So I decreed God's blessings upon you. You are blessed in the field. You are blessed in the city. You are blessed in your body. The work of your hand is blessed. You are placed above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. You are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Wow, healed by the stripes of Jesus. That infirmity challenging your health is rebuked now. Hallelujah. That sickness is rebuked now. That attack of the devil, I stand with you in prayer, and together we vanquish the devil. We rebuke him. Loose your hold, Satan, and that. Let go now in the name of Jesus. May that which you're looking up to God for come to pass. May all the prophecies spoken into your life begin to come into manifestation. May you step into the place of your destiny. May the good counsel of God concerning you be fulfilled. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.